God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Businessman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. Well, there were fireworks in New York with the hush money trial in New York and yesterday. Today, they're going to be taking the day off. And tomorrow, they are going to get back on it. And so we'll see what happens. You know, they didn't have any time, any notice whatsoever. They didn't know that Stormy Daniels, their star witness, was going to be called yesterday. And so in comes Stormy, playing dirty tactics, not even letting the defense know when this star witness is going to be called. So she comes in with no notice. And the first thing they ask the defense counsel is, they told them, we have no notice, and we would like to make a standing objection that there should be no salacious talk, none. And that's all they did. That's all the, this is a prosecution that has no crime attached to the prosecution. They're going to find one somehow, because I said this yesterday, Stormy Daniels' salacious testimony is completely irrelevant to the case. That is strictly about, what is it about, Scott? It's about $130,000 personal payment made by Michael Cohen, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't even make the payment to Stormy. He made the payment to Michael Cohen. So Stormy Daniels' salacious testimony is completely irrelevant to the case. That is strictly about $130,000 payment, a personal payment made by Michael Cohen, allegedly paid on Trump's behalf. The charge is that Trump should have wrongly paid using campaign funds with full public disclosure. So, I mean, the point is that you have this payment that Michael Cohen took it upon himself to make. Whether he was a fixer or not a fixer, $130 is obviously chump change. We know that now for Donald Trump. Much to the chagrin and to the remiss of the mainstream media, who says he's broke. They were always trying to say Trump doesn't have that much money. Well, it turns out he does have a lot of money. We're finding that out. And in a political campaign season, heading into the 2016 election, before Trump was even president, when he was a private citizen, He allegedly had encounters with Stormy Daniels. But Stormy Daniels signed not one, but two documents. Two documents. Oh, sorry. And when she signed those two documents, the two documents said that she didn't have an encounter with Trump, and that she wasn't saying that because she received such money. She was saying it because it didn't happen. And I guess we have a caller that's going to be wanting to talk about this. So, caller, you're on the air.
Oh yeah, good morning, Scott. Mel from Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
I was just calling in regards to yesterday. You had a call, which I'll speak about this sham show trial with happening down in Manhattan. Yeah, you had a caller who called in yesterday in regards to what was a border rally that I attended, along with I attended also in Boston, Massachusetts, on the State House steps in Boston, Mass. It was a very, very patriotic event. It was ethnicities of all races
okay.
that attended.
Yeah, it was about securing the border. But let's talk about we have to stay on topic today because.
Right. Yeah. Well, there should be cameras in that courtroom to let us, we the people,
yeah.
see what the deep state, this law chair, is portraying against we the people, not only President Trump, but also us. Also, we who support the America First agenda. So know, with that, without that being broadcast, it's a one-sided agenda that they're just trying to railroad us all into submission with this bull crap that they're placing on. Yeah. So, but anyway, that's what I.
Well, that's what
to
we're
speak about.
That's what not we're going to be talking about today. We have a lot of audio clips and a lot of things to share with you today. But thank you for calling in. All right. Take care. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got to keep it on topic, though, too, today. So Stormy Daniels' salacious testimony has nothing to do with the case. The case is about $130,000 payment that Michael Cohen paid. Now, here's the wrinkle. The wrinkle that I have for you is I think Michael Cohen paid that because I saw an interview with Pierce Morgan and Stormy Daniels, and he brought it up. And he says, if you never signed that document, there wouldn't have been. She admitted that by signing the document, a document that Trump never signed, by signing the document, there would be a paper trail. There would be then a physical connection between Stormy and Donald Trump. So what kind of dummy lawyer does that? Except for Michael Cohen. And it's not that he's that dumb, although I question that. But I think it's because Michael Cohen wanted to extort Donald Trump. See, that's what I believe that's what this case is about. This has nothing to do with Stormy Daniels. It has everything to do with the fact that Michael Cohen wanted a job in the White House. And when he was rebuffed, he had a grievance. And he decided to make himself relevant by putting himself in the middle of something that was nothing. It's like talking about race when there's no racism. It's like talking about police brutality when there's no brutality. When the statistics belie that. So that's what's going on here. What's going on here is that Michael Cohen took it upon himself to make a stupid move. Because Stormy Daniels could have said anything she wanted to, as she did yesterday. She makes up this, there's a mobster, a mob-looking guy in a parking lot. She can't describe when it happened, what the guy looks like, or anything. But she says it was related to Trump. And she was allowed to actually say that on the stand yesterday. that somehow she was being shaken down, but she's not shakable. She's tough. Never mind the fact that she owes Trump $600,000 in legal fees for a case she brought that was frivolous, and that he turned around and ordered her to pay, won the judgment to have her pay his legal fees. She says on the stand yesterday that she's not going to listen to a court order. So, I mean, she's totally discredited. She's not going to even listen to a court order that says you have to pay Mr. Trump's legal fees. She was like, I'm not paying him. And then she went further. And she says, I hate him. I hate the guy. That's what she said. She said, I hate him worse than anything. And I won't listen to a court order. That was their star witness testimony yesterday. And they haven't even begun. They weren't even prepared. They didn't even know that Stormy Daniels was even going to be in the courtroom yesterday. Now, today, they're not meeting. There's no court proceedings today. And tomorrow, you better believe Trump's team is going to be coming prepared with all kinds of questions that Stormy Daniels can't answer. She's going to crack under pressure. And everything she did say was not only a waste of time, it was a violation of objection, of the of standing objection, which was anything talking about anything that doesn't have to do with a $130,000 payment is irrelevant to the case. The case is all about this. I'm going to read it again. Stormy Daniels' salacious testimony is completely irrelevant to the case. The case is strictly about a $130,000 personal payment made by Michael Cohen, allegedly paid on Trump's behalf. And allegedly is really doing a lot of work there. It means something. It means something, because no one thinks that any attorney in their right mind would pay that on Trump's behalf. They wouldn't do that because it doesn't make sense. Why pay somebody who says something that's not provable? That's like E. Jean Carroll mimicking a Law and Order episode where Kevin Pollak was in the scene talking about an incident at Bergdorf's, and she can't remember what year, what season, anything. Because it's in New York, it's so liberal in New York that these people are out to get Trump. The charge is that Trump, the actual charge against Trump, if you even want to call it a charge, because there's no crime here, and it's a criminal case. The charge is that Trump should have wrongly paid using campaign funds with full public disclosure. And I heard one pundit say, one legal scholar say, if Trump would have paid the 130, well, he didn't pay the 130 to Stormy. He paid off legal services to Michael Cohen, who took a loan out through a regional bank and First Republic, and he took a First Republic loan out, equity against his home, to pay Stormy Daniels $130,000 to write up a contract that Trump never signed and call it an NDA agreement. And Trump's like, why'd you do that? We had no paper trail until now. Now you've made up some paper trail as my attorney. Oh, wait, you want a job at the White House? No, you're not going to get hired. You suck as an attorney. So then he says, well, then I'm going to use it against you. And he did. And he did. That's what this is. This is a Michael Cohen shakedown of Donald Trump. And once he got involved with it, he couldn't get out of it. Once you started the ball rolling, you couldn't stop the ball. And that's what this is. So he takes 130,000 equity line of credit to pay off Stormy Daniels, and Stormy Daniels gets paid, I guess, 130,000, and signs this document that Trump never signed. And her signatures don't match. She signed two different documents. They were statements that basically said, I never had sex with this man. Right? I don't know the guy. And so basically that was that. So now she's saying those were lies. And she's talking about everything but, because they have already contested the case about whether she was raped or whether anything happened to her physically, sexually. That case has been thrown out. And yet they allowed her to bring up all of that salacious material and present it in front of the jury. And tried to crack jokes. The jury didn't even laugh. And so it's a really sad, sad chain of events that what the standing objection was violated every step of the way. And somehow, when they offer up deliberation instructions, they're going to be told to forget something that they heard, like the bell can unring, and it can't. But this case was already addressed 2 days ago when Connolly, the comptroller at the Trump Organization, said he signed off. It was his decision to call it legal services because it was a lawyer that they were paying, and that anything over 10,000 requires multiple signatures. And they got them, not from Trump, but from Eric Trump and Don Jr. and the guy that's actually the CFO that's in jail right now. And they signed off on the payment to Michael Cohen. So they paid Michael Cohen a series of payments of $35,000. And that's that. That's all there was to this. And then the $130,000 plus an extra $50,000 for something else was paid off. And that was it. That was the end of the story. And fast forward 8 years, 9 years later, and we have this case. It's absurd. It's insane. Take a listen to this. I think Greg Gutfeld actually said it really well. And we're going to take a listen here.
What are the odds that an incident from 15 to 20 years ago would now become the object of litigation just months before an election? It's kind of a strange coincidence that the media doesn't really seem to focus on. That might be one question that would make you go, maybe this is political. I got to say, I love how CNN anchors blush and are shocked by pajamas and spanking. I mean, one of your employees pleasured himself on Zoom. You kept him on there. One of your producers, I think, arrested for grooming kids.
Yep.
It's funny watching the media act like Puritans, right? Go to any media event, and it's like the Playboy mansion with ugly people. So it's like, it's just, they got the paws all over you. They're drunk. This is porn for sexless Democrats. Listening to testimony from an aging sex worker about Trump in a courtroom, you have everything. It's almost as erotic as listening to NPR while feeding grapes to your cat with myocarditis. The court case is really about convincing jurors that Trump is a bad guy for sleeping around. It's not about breaking laws, because no laws were broken. If Trump were a woman, the prosecution would be accused of slut shaming. Huh? That's quite a theory. Again, he's not charged for the hush money. It's not about Stormy. It's about an accounting method for a legal payment in a business record that had no known category. That's it. What Stormy has to do with it is nothing. All that is frosting for the media.
Jesse.
Yeah, and this is not criminal either, right? This is not criminal. This is civil. This is an accounting error. Here's what Jesse Waters had to say on the five as well.
Trump does not use Old Spice. He has his own deodorant line. It's called Success. Someone gifted it to me at a bookshop.
So one of the testimony was that she said he had Old Spice in his cabinet. That's the other John that she was.
Does not use Old Spice.
Wait, let's, he has his own the opening
you know, is frosting for the media.
It's crazy, right?
Jesse Waters, give you last word.
Fact check. Trump does not use Old Spice. He has his own deodorant line. It's called Success. Someone gifted it to me at a book signing. And Turley, cats can walk backwards. I don't know about that analogy. Michael Avenatti dropped a bombshell from behind bars today, and take it for what it's worth. I'm just conveying what he said. He made an allegation that a producer wanted to do a documentary on Stormy Daniels and called him on a recorded line and said, would you like to participate? And he said, well, I don't know. Is she getting paid for the documentary? Because if she is, it's probably not fair and I'm not going to do it. And the producer says, yes, she is going to get paid for the documentary, but that's because she owes Trump hundreds of thousands of dollars in judgment. And she's just trying to make ends meet. But she has a way of concealing the money from Trump's lawyers. What they're going to do is, and what they have done, Michael says, is that they have optioned the rights to her book. They've taken the proceeds and set up a fraudulent LLC under Stormy's daughter's name. And that's how they're going to hide the money from Trump's lawyers.
Amazing.
If this is true, then she's guilty of bad record keeping fraud. So I don't know if that's going to be pursued by Alvin Bragg. Probably not. But Trump is barreling towards breaking this gag order. I don't see within the next 48 hours how he does not do it. You're saying you can't criticize the government? That's what the judge is saying. You cannot criticize the government, the court, or the prosecution, let alone an American citizen. This guy's the Republican nominee for president. Not only he can't criticize the government, he's not inciting violence. He's not making false statements. He has an opinion about the government that's being controlled by his political rival that's prosecuting him. Now, if you can't criticize the government or have an opinion about the government, then you're not in America. And that's insane. And we also just found out this guy, Colangelo, the lead prosecutor, who was Biden's number three guy at the Department of Justice, was a paid consultant for the Democrat National Committee. Mm-hmm. And he's an Obama donor. So Obama donating DNC consultant, former Biden prosecutor, is leading the charge in this courtroom. And the Democrats say this isn't political. And maybe you guys can answer this question for me. How are they only giving Trump's lawyers 24 hours to prepare for these witnesses?
It's unheard of. It is unheard of.
I need at least 5 hours to prepare for this show.
And you don't even do it.
It's unfair.
So, yeah, you get the idea. And then the other wrinkle is they say Trump would win on appeal. Easy, right? Trump is going to win on appeal. But he might get convicted of this because you just don't know what jury you have in New York City, right? Everybody hates Trump in New York. These liberals hate Trump. A lot of them do. And so you wonder, okay, they push this case, which is going to go on for another few weeks, into what, let's see, June? By July 1st, by Independence Day, 4th of July, you're going to have a verdict on this case. That's going to put you right square dab in the middle of an election. And when Biden and Trump decide to debate, Biden's going to have that feather in his cap that's going to say, well, you're a convicted felon. A convicted felon over this. And that is the purpose of this case. That's what's going on here. So Dylan... Harmeet Dhillon, my firm Dhillon Law obtained a total of over $600,000 in attorney fee judgments for President Trump against Stormy Daniels in the cases she filed. She hasn't paid. So the federal Ninth Circuit just awarded me, and this was April 6, 2023, $122,000 from Stormy Daniels over the hundreds of thousands of dollars she owes me. And now Stormy Horseface Daniels, and that's Horseface Daniels is probably the defamation that she was trying to sue for, I guess, who I never had an affair with, is out yet again for her moment of fame. And this was April 2023. Why is a case like this allowed to linger? It's all political. And they're trying to put it right smack dab in the middle of a race against Joe Biden. All right. So check this out. This is Alina Haba talking about the case.
I was in the courtroom today. I was in the courtroom yesterday. What's more compelling to me is that the prosecution, whose case, frankly, in my opinion, has been destroyed, is completely discredited. And now they are saying, as of yesterday, that they want another 2 weeks. And that, to me, says it all, Sean. And the American people need to remember one thing. This case is not about defamation. It is not about a woman. It is about a record-keeping category that was, frankly, correct, made in Trump Tower by the Trump Organization, somebody in accounting who did nothing wrong, who's never spoken to President Trump, while President Trump was doing what? In the Oval Office, running the country. And that is what DA Alvin Bragg is trying to now put a former president on trial for. It's not about the felony counts. It's not about what we heard today. That is a distraction. It is about one thing, Sean, you know it, and I know it, and that is to keep Donald Trump out of the campaign trail, because Biden can't beat him. Period. The end. His poll numbers are amazing, and he's not even campaigning. So this is what they have to do, and then put an unconstitutional gag order so that on the days that he can come campaign, he can't speak. He can't defend himself. What I have seen is absolute demise of American judicial system. You said it perfectly in your monologue, Sean. I can't believe what I've seen for the last 2 days in that courtroom. And now you've got a judge who will not grant a mistrial when they violated parameters that he gave. They did not care. They went ahead and put salacious information that was frankly false. We know that from words that were said prior to this trial. And now we're sitting here scratching our heads wondering where taxpayer dollars are going. Also that President Biden can win in November. That is all this is. It was very clear to me today.
As a matter of law, everything she talked about today was immaterial. I mean, it has really nothing to do with the law. Let me go back to the official statement that she says she was pressured to sign in January of 2018 that I just read. Well, was she pressured to deny the affair in 2006? Was she similarly pressured to deny it in 2011? Was she pressured to deny it in 2016? Was she pressured to deny it in 2017? Because that's an awful lot of times that she was out there denying it and then admits she wanted to make money and sell a book.
That's correct. And I'm not going to speak to her testimony. She's currently under oath, and we're going to continue cross-examining her on Thursday. What I will say is this, Sean. When you have inconsistencies with any witness, it speaks volumes. When you pick people that are not credible, it speaks volumes. And I think that the fact that we have White House logs that DAs and AGs are all coordinating and on the South Lawn with President Biden also speaks volumes. And we're going to hit each and every one of these cases like we have. As you saw with the boxes hoax today, this is disgusting. Jack Smith changing covers, sloppy with evidence that he's now trying to blame President Trump when it was his hands in the cookie jar. Let's be clear on what is happening. Their plan is falling apart. It's going in their face. And frankly, all of these cases should be dismissed.
All right. The special prosecutor.
Okay, so what's interesting about that, she was just talking about Jack Smith. That case has been pretty much thrown out by Judge Gannon, the Docs case. It's been put on hold indefinitely. That means that case is done. Jack Smith lost. So Trump had a really big, great day yesterday. He's going to have another great day on Thursday. And let me tell you something. The Jack Smith case is done. That whole Florida charade, the raid of Mar-a-Lago, everything was staged. Staged! Unbelievable! Unbelievable that that was allowed to happen. Let's see what else we have.
Saying here. That Donald Trump is being denied a right to a fair trial in this case that we're watching unfold before us. Now Congress will be investigating the special counsel in this case. And the document case judge pulled the plug on the trial because of, based on what we've...
I can't wait until the Congress starts to hear, starts to investigate Jack Smith. We're going to find out that the FBI and Chris Wray and everybody else is what who we always knew them to be. But we're going to just have more evidence to work with. I mean, we know what's going on. That's obvious. All right. So the material that came in was not relevant. So CNN's getting in on the bandwagon. They're looking more like a Fox News outfit every day. The Young Turks hates Trump. Yet they can't side with the mainstream media on their relishing of Trump being behind bars.
The material that came in was not relevant to this criminal case at all. And I think it shows that...
This woman's name is Shira Schindling. I've never heard of her. She's a former U.S. District Court judge. And she's an older woman on CNN.
Not relevant to this criminal case at all. And I think it shows that she was trying to get Trump. I actually thought there was a motive there. She said she hates him. She said she'd like to see him in prison. I think she was purposely throwing out this stuff to make sure the jurors were prejudiced, particularly the women jurors, but probably half of the men, too, were really put off. The material that came in was not...
So, again, that should have never been allowed in. The jury now is tainted. It's a mistrial. You got to start over. That's the key. But they want this to fall. They want this to fall right into the middle of an election year. So they called for a mistrial, and they didn't get it. So Greg Price writes, "You got to be kidding me." The prosecutor who questioned Stormy Daniels in court today donated $500 to Joe Biden in 2020, as well as $900 to Act Blue. You can add the conflict of interest to the other prosecutor who was number three at Biden's DOJ and worked for the DNC, that's Quilangelo, the judge who also donated to Biden, and the judge's daughter raising millions of dollars for Democrats off the indictment. It's such a joke. This will definitely win on appeal, but appeal could take 2-3 years. Stephen Miller writes this. So one prosecutor donated to Biden, one prosecutor was paid by the DNC and worked for Biden, and the lead prosecutor campaigned against Trump, and the judge is a Biden donor. How have the federal courts not long ago shut down this abomination? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Where is the Supreme Court when you need them, right? Here's what Greg Jarrett had to say about this.
Well, Stormy Daniels was called to the witness stand for only one purpose, Sean, to slime Trump. But she's peddled so many conflicting stories. You get whiplash on cross-examination, though. She withered. She was confronted with hard evidence that her motive was greed, hatred of Trump. So, hopefully jurors saw her for what she is, a shakedown artist. It's her livelihood. And at one point, she unbelievably claimed, I don't care about the money, only making my story public. Well, if that's true, why did you agree to remain silent in exchange for big bags of money? She is so clueless, she walked right into it today. And as witnesses go, I'd say she's self-destructed. But the professor is right. None of what she had to say today was remotely relevant to any of the charges against Donald Trump. She had no knowledge. Prosecutors put her on the stand to vilify Trump with a salacious story, irrelevant, highly prejudicial, probative of nothing. And that is the legal standard that makes her testimony inadmissible. And any fair judge would not have allowed it. Unfortunately for Donald Trump, he's stuck with Juan Marchand as the judge.
Sad we're living in a country like this. So this was also Jake Tapper on CNN.
At this point, that's premature. What Jack Smith knows tonight, though, is that it's very possible that he may not be able to bring either one of his federal cases.
Oh, this is the Jack Smith case. So check this out.
cases against former President Trump before the election. And the election is a significant point on the calendar because if Trump is reelected, he can have Jack Smith and both of his cases dismissed. Now, here, this case, the classified documents case, postponed indefinitely. But the other prosecution that Smith has brought, the January 6th case, also on ice while the Supreme Court contemplates if Trump has presidential immunity. Now, in their arguments a couple weeks ago, they signaled that they're not likely to toss that case out, but they might toss it back down to the trial court for more litigation, which, again, that's why it would make it impossible to bring before the November election. Obviously, we're here in Manhattan for this criminal case. The other one outstanding is the RICO case down in Georgia. But again, it goes back to the strategy of delay. By trying to have Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade removed from the case, they successfully likely pushed that until late in this year. And it's very difficult, again, if Trump is reelected, to put him on trial down there. So this long game that they've been playing to try to delay everything overall has been successful. The one case that is going forward is what was always considered kind of the runt of the litter, the least consequential of the four. But it is still a historic case. The first prosecution of the former.
Right. So interesting. But things seem to be going Trump's way. And even if Trump were to get convicted of this criminal, it'll go off on appeal. And unless he were to get locked up, more than likely, then the other question was, can he even testify in his own case if he's got a gag order? And then what about when he's debating with Joe Biden, who brings it up, and then Trump can't say anything because he's got a gag order and gets thrown in jail? I mean,
the cross exam.
This is the country we're living in.
Her responses were disastrous. I mean, do you hate Donald?
This again is CNN. CNN.
Cross exam. Boy, her responses were disastrous. I mean, do you hate Donald Trump? Yes, of course she does. That's a big deal. When the witness hates the person whose liberty is at stake, that's a big damn deal. And she's putting out tweets, fantasizing about him being in jail. That really undermines the credibility. The fact that she owes him $500,000. She, by order of a court, owes Donald Trump $500,000 and said, I will never pay him. I will defy a court order. The defense is going to say she's willing to defy a court order. Why? She's not willing to respect an order of a judge. Why is she going to respect this oath she took? So I thought it went quite poorly on cross-exam. At the end of direct, I thought, okay, they got what they needed. But I think the cross is making real inroads. The cross-exam.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, right? This is CNN talking about that. So that's pretty amazing. All right. So Jesse Waters talks about the protesters and who was financing the protesters. Let's take a listen.
They were combing through papers for 20 years of trying to find Russian money that went to Trump. Mm-hmm. They never found it. They never found a single foreign connection between Russia and the Trump campaign. And now there's money coming from overseas, from radical Muslim outfits. We've already figured it out. It's the Rockefellers, it's Soros, it's the Pritzkers in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And what happens is these kids are loaded up with CRT in high school. So they're all tuned up when they go in freshman year. And then you get these radical faculty members that tell them that the world consists of victims and victimizers. So they're all ready. And then an event happens, like a George Floyd or an invasion or anything. And then all of a sudden, this money pours into these left-wing outfits, and there's actual revolutionaries that then descend onto the campus and train these kids how to fight cops and train them on riot tactics. And this is where we are right now. It's very similar to the way Muslims are radicalized in the Mideast. You get them young, disenchanted, upset with the status quo, single. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you just blow their brains open with propaganda. And then what do you know? They rage. I used to live near that monument, the World War I on the Upper East Side. I used to sit and look at it and read about it. It's just sad. Mm-hmm. We had a senior from Columbia and her dad on the show last night. She said after October 7th on campus, before Israel even struck back.
Yeah.
The students were all like, yeah, Hamas, Israel hadn't even responded, and they were pro-Hamas. She said she saw ISIS flags, Nazi flags. The stuff she heard was crazy, and she's a straight-A student. She got an academic award, and she's so discouraged because she feels like when she hands an employer her resume and it says Columbia, they're going to discriminate against her. They were
You know, it's also gotten really bad because when you think about it, there is a close tie to the Nazis and Hitler, who embraced Islam. You know, you go back to the Ottoman Empire, for example. That's World War I, the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, and the emergence of dividing lines in the Middle East from Sykes and Picot, a British and a French guy. And they were basically divvying up the Middle East through the lens of resources. But what they weren't doing, what they were not doing, is they weren't thinking about tribes and how tribes get along and how to create harmony in the region. They were looking at it from a colonialist and imperialistic view, which was, we got to divide up these other people's resources fairly for the Brits and the French who claimed victory. But that had some consequences, didn't it, over the next next 150 years or 100 years, or actually 200 years. No, 100 years. Over the next century, right? So that had consequences. It did. And so, you know, when Hitler emerged and he was looking at the white Aryan race, he was looking at that from a perspective of anti-immigration, but he was also looking at it from the in the wake of Sykes and Picot's dividing. And he wanted partnerships, and he partnered with Islam, and he saw Islam as an anti-Jew force, and there's a history there. So these super smart Ivy League kids, they're not smart, are aligned with Nazi Germany and Hitler. And there is this new fashion coming along that's where people are dressing up like Nazi, SS Nazi. And it's a new line of fashion. The people are wearing this stuff. You know, it's interesting. Hugo Boss is a brand, a suit. I would never wear it. Because Hugo Boss' first big contract was the Nazi uniform. You can't make this stuff up. So here's the plan for the election, and we want to talk a little bit about this too. Because people are talking about voter ID, and they're at the same time insulting Black America to no end. Talk about racism. That's the left. But here's their plan. True to the Vote comes out. Their plan: deny states access to federal migrant tracking databases, preventing voter registration, citizenship checks. Done. Now, remember, I showed you yesterday about the vlog woman that printed up 67,000 or 63,000 ballots and just kept reprinting them. In Fulton County, Georgia, they're missing 17,000 ballots. Ballots. They're in the computer, but they don't have the physical ballot, the paper ballot. So the lady asks, I would like to see them. And the attorney for the Secretary of State, Raffensperger, says, no, that's a waste of time. We've already done that. But the person in the chamber of Congress, the state Congress, is basically saying, no, we want to go down. Where can we go see these? And now we find out that they don't even exist. So there's 17,000 ballot paper ballots missing. The recount was recounting the fraud, not the paper. So we found out that there was real reason for Trump and his RICO charges to complain, make the complaints that they did in a concerted effort. They tried to then call that RICO, Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. And so that's pretty problematic. Now you got Fannie Willis under scrutiny for expenditures. Turns out they have no checks and no balances on the $37 million that Fannie Willis has at her disposal. She has more than that, actually. But she could spend it on anything she wants. A janitor and Nathan Wade's salary could be conflated into services under the umbrella of services. So she could give Nathan Wade $1 million, and they don't even know unless they were to double check. So Nathan Wade can then take her on a cruise to Napa Valley to wherever. So Fannie Willis's case is going nowhere because she's probably going to be thrown out of office. She's so corrupt. And they're just now looking into it. And the hearing that happened a few days ago was really telling that there are no checks and balances to the discretion, her discretion, on how she spends $37 million. Fannie G. Willis. So then you have Michigan, where they have 200,000 more registrations than they do registered voters. That's 100-something percent. Yeah, it used to be 67%, 60-70% would be registered. That would be normal. Not everybody wants to register to vote. Not everybody wants to be tracked. Not everybody wants to participate. And that's normal. That's normal. 60-70% in a free society. And they figure, let them figure it out. A lot of these thugs and gangbangers, and now illegals, illegals are being asked through social welfare programs to try to get people to register to vote. I mean, social welfare programs are asking illegals to register to vote. That's insane. And that's why you have 120% registrations with only 20% too many. It's actually 40 to 50% more than it should be. Compound that with all of the ballots get mailed out, whether you want them mailed out or not. And you got a flush of ballots that have no destination because you have, again, 120% voter registration with only, you know, of the 100% population that's eligible to vote. Now you have all these ballots laying around. Guess what? They're going to get picked up. They're going to be dropped off by some paid Democrat, and they're going to be filled out, and they're going to be wearing masks. They're going to be dropped off at some postal box or drop box anonymously in the middle of the night. The same person's going to drop off more than one. And then after election results are counted as needed, the mail-in ballots will be counted and they'll be processed with no signature verification, no chain of custody. And that's the problem, too, is there's no chain of custody on these things. So their plan is to deny states access to federal migrant tracking databases so that they can't figure out whether the person's legally a voter or not. Preventing voter registration, citizenship checks. Done. Register 10 million plus new migrants for social service programs with baked-in voter registration. See NVRA and EO 14019. It's happening now. Pass an executive order granting amnesty and citizenship status. That's coming soon. Again, pass an executive order granting amnesty and citizenship status. That's coming. It'll be banned by the Supreme Court, but it's coming. The solution: scan, check, protect, view the map, linked below. Okay, so there's a map. I don't have that map. Select your state. Make sure you're registered in your current state. Click on any state you've lived in previously and make sure you're removed from the roll. This is on my Twitter feed, truthevote.org/registration. So you want to use that. You want to try that out. That's truthevote.org/registration. Check and see how you're registered. IV3, join in a citizen-led effort to ensure the accuracy of our nation's voter rolls using IV3. Register below for access. Review the country's local rolls using nationally recognized databases. That's IV3.us. And then there's the 611 Project. Get familiar with election laws and how they impact non-citizen voting. Participate in a call to action. truthevote.org/the-611-project and follow True the Vote on Twitter. Share this post. So the post is what they're trying to do, and this was all Democrat senators pushing this. Dick Durbin and the like. You get the idea. All right. Let's take a listen to Kamala Harris.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should.
What an insult.
Underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are.
Mm-hmm. Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what.
I mean, how hard is it to just show up and vote? You know, if you need more precincts, then fund more precincts. Give everybody a day off from work, just like jury duty. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, Scott. One other thing I wanted to iterate on regards to what's going on
we're
in
out
this
of
court
time.
And what Biden could probably use if they convict President Trump of sexual misconduct. Well, what about Tara Reid? What about his daughter? Take a shot. He can use, hey, this is what
absolutely. Joe. But we can't. We have to stay on topic. Sorry. So Kamala Harris says that. I think it's an insult. Also, this is Kathy Hochul. She thinks that black kids don't know what a computer is.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't
How
know
insulting
these things.
Is that?
And I want the world open up to
this
all
is the
of
governor
them.
Of New York.
Because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
Listen to that. That
young
to me
black
is
kids growing up
ridiculous.
In the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is.
This is what the Democrats think of you. And then here's Joe Biden. Here he's saying the quiet part out loud.
The liberation was back in the 1840s in the Great Exodus from Ireland because of the famine and the way Irish Catholics are treated. They said, no, we don't need any more of this. And there's a large influx. There's even a bigger influx now in terms of Hispanic voters.
In terms of Hispanic voters. No, I mean citizens.
Now, in terms of Hispanic voters, Hispanic citizens.
So he was looking at the Hispanics as voters, not citizens, right? All right, and we got one more real quick one for you.
On Friday, I had the honor of bestowing our nation's highest civilian awards on 19 incredible people, two trailblazing Hispanic Americans as well, Teresa Romeo, the first Latina to lead the National Union, American Farm Workers. Now, if you look inside the
he can't speak, he says. At Cinco de Mayo celebration last week, Texas Romo, it was Tracy Romeo, Romero, and the United Farm Workers, not the American farm workers. He got it all wrong. It's crazy, right? Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. And that's Mr. 81 Million Votes, by the way. Check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to continue to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. And with that, we'll see you next time on the radio.
The mound's getting steeper. I grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper. Just to bury my kids right up to there.